the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the Best Soccer Show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the Best Soccer Show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday. You, me, him. We're live on a Sunday night talking American soccer, and man, it's gonna be a good one. I feel good about this one. The weekend. What is it? Yeah, go ahead. You start.
Everything's good when things are doing well in Europe for Americans. Everything's better.
That's what it is. It's a vibe thing, right? Like it's what is it about the roller coaster that we're on as an American soccer community where one week it's like, oh, Christian Pulisic didn't get off the bench and Weston McKennie was injured and Josh Sargent couldn't get a sniff of goal and Tyler Adams is playing right back for 15 minutes and then the next week or 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. A Wonder Boy is scoring goals for Chelsea. Lone Star. Did we settle on Lone Star? What do we decide on his call sign?
Settle on Lone Star, but I'm okay with it. I mean, I would like to call him the weekday because he looks like the weekend. The 3 day weekend.
Something like that. Mr. Weston McKennie scoring a goal for Juventus with just clean, calm, getting in behind the back line, just riding that offside line. He definitely was onside, by the way, 100%.
Yeah, that right back with his hand is in the air. I don't know what he was thinking.
Oh yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. It was just. I mean, look, those are the two big ones. Yeah, it wasn't golden everywhere else. You know, Sargent didn't have a good week. Daryl DK, I cannot forget about Daryl DK. Scored again, Mr. Dubois. Doing.
You remember a couple weeks ago when you're like, they need to sell him for 10 right now? You remember that?
What do you think the number is right now? Tell me.
I mean, I don't think they're wrong at 20. I don't think they're wrong at 20.
I think they could
get to 25.
But it's a lot. 20 is a lot, right?
It's a lot, but the dude's got 8 goals in, 13 games?
So here's one of the...
He's a genetic beast on those guys over there.
That's the thing. Is he going to beast in a different division? He's going to beast at a higher level when he graduates, Jared.
Here's the problem. Have you watched any of the Barnsley play? Have you actually watched how they use him? Like, there's some videos out there where you see every touch DK, and I've been watching a ton of them, right?
Uh-huh.
There is no midfield. There just is no midfield in the championship for Barnsley.
I feel like that dude is doing.
Yeah. I did not know DK had the flick-on ability that he has. Like, dude wins everything in the air. Like, he's flicking on. There's no one there because no one else is up the field with him. But there are traits that are really, really good that will translate to the Premiership. What I don't know about DK by watching him at Barnsley is, can he actually combine with people?
Yeah.
Like right now, he's just like, he's running through back lines onto balls. He's winning stuff in the air. Can he combine 2 to 3 passes and give and goes with guys? I don't know because Barnsley doesn't do it.
I think there are some questions about change in style. And this is why we didn't talk about a number necessarily, but this is why you were on board with him going to Everton, right? Because that's an opportunity to learn a different way of playing, right? I mean, I think a lot of people said that. I think our guest Taylor Rockwell said it on From the Stands, that if you go to Everton and you're playing for Carlo Ancelotti, you're not going to be playing Barnsley-style football, right? So, hey, maybe that's a good thing, but we don't know. We don't know. Yeah. And there's a whole discussion right now, Jared, and I don't know how you feel about expected goals. Have we had a discussion? You're not a big stats guy.
We have had a discussion. I'm like, expected goals.
What is that
fortune telling?
Okay,
what is that?
So I don't want to get into what expected goals are. We don't need to do that. But I will say that, and this was my joke, after he scored the diving header this weekend and added another goal, I said my expected goals analysis for Daryl DK is that I expect him to score goals. That's where I'm at with the dude at this point. Because if you want to know, and I know you don't want to, again, we won't go deep into it. It's not our bag. It's fine. There's lots of analytical podcasts out there.
You can be into it.
No, I try to...
If you're at the feet stuff, that's cool. That's you. I'm not into feet stuff.
That's definitely not me. I am probably more anti-feet than you are. You want to battle on that one?
Oh, I'm kind of into him. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit into him. But expected goals and all those stats, that's just whatever your fetish is to me.
Danger zone!
I'm there for the game. I'm not there for how you play it.
No, look, okay. I do think they can be informative, and I think they have a place. I don't think you just, you know, reject them out of hand.
But yeah, anniversaries. Will say, look,
for some people, expected goals, they maybe get elevated to a status that they don't necessarily deserve, especially in a small sample size. So what in case of Daryl DK, the whole thing is that his expected goals numbers are about half of the actual goals he scored at this point. And if you extrapolate that over time, then you would presume that his goals will drop closer to his expected goal numbers, which means he's kind of playing out of his mind right now, and this isn't necessarily reflective of how good he is. Do you think that's possible?
So, but basically, the question is he on a heater or is this him?
That's what it is, yes.
No way to know. The sample size is too small. Anyone telling you different is selling you something.
Okay.
But it's nice to think. To feel like it could be like consistent.
Right, but this is the thing. Is he then therefore worth $20 million American dollars?
Sample size is going to come to end for everyone in the world in about a month. You know, like there's a couple weeks left. The dude couldn't have done more. He could not have done more other than stellar scoring in every game. That's basically all he could have done better than what he's done. So this dude is on the most ridiculous stock rise. Uh-huh. And we saw the dude's GameStop. Like, out of nowhere, some kind of meme stock. He's a stonk. And, like, the question is, how much is he going to sell for before the bottom drops out?
Daryl DK.
Because if he goes three games without a goal, he stonked it.
Oh,
you know?
And his stock, it's definitely BDE, right? I'm investing in BDE when I go and get that stonk. And Daryl DK on the American transfer market, whatever.
I'm not trying to say I don't believe in Daryl DK. I do, but it's just like the it's going to crash at some point. Listen, over a small sample size, Christian Pulisic's the most dangerous guy in the Premier League. If you just look at the last two games, you know,
this isn't two games. This is a few more than that.
It's half a season, and that's what people got to realize. This is half a season. It really is. Granted, 13 games, but he came in January. That's roughly half the season in terms of calendar.
Oh, you're talking about half the season. This is a quarter of the season in the championship. They play 46 games in a season in the championship.
They play 46 games?
Because there's 24 teams in the division, and they play everybody home and away. They play 46 games. It's nuts. Now, remember, they're not playing any European championships or competitions at the top end. There is FA Cup. There is League Cup. 46 games. It's why the championship is such a grind.
So he'll end up playing about a third.
He'll end up playing about a third of the championship season for a team that wasn't really supposed to be where they are. Well,
and
you
the best case scenario for
doesn't
DK
play
is,
good soccer.
The other thing that's the best case scenario for DK is that he's the talisman. He's the thing that's made the difference. Whether you believe it or not, you can make the case that Barnsley's season and the meteoric rise of this last third is contingent on Daryl DK. Other things happened as well. But if you're his agent, you're just like, hey, they were having a chance when he got there. But look what happened since he arrived there. What, one loss in 13 games, I think it is at this point.
I don't have that in front of me, but I believe it. Yeah.
The guy has the best. Any agent can get a deal out of this. We're going to find out how good his agent is in this offseason right here. And I don't think he comes back to Orlando even for a game. Like, do you wait for the August window and let him come back to Orlando?
No.
You got to put that dude on ice.
No. No, he's going to go this summer. I don't think he comes back to Orlando. I don't think that's possible. And I say that with Orlando having said, like, oh, we're not listening to your $10 million offer. Like we said, la, 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 la. I don't know that anybody's actually put $20 million on the table. Like, nobody's written it in the note and passed it across and said, Orlando City, take it or leave it. And by the way, let's just throw this into the mixture here. Orlando City is technically on the block. Like, the club is possibly going to be sold. I think the Wilf family, who are invested in Nashville and also own the Minnesota Vikings, are interested in Orlando. I don't know where that update. I don't know how updated that information is, but I have heard that if you're the Wilf family. And there's a player that you might want to help you win games, but could immediately put $25 million, $23 million, $22 million into your team? Wouldn't you take that and run? Like, why would you want them to hold on to him? Because,
dude,
what, you might
best
make
investment
the playoffs?
Ever for Orlando. Best investment ever. Go buy Orlando right now. If you're spending $25 million to buy Orlando or something like that, you're going to get $20 million of it back in a couple months.
It's like a rebate when you buy a car, right? That's kind of what's going on here. It is 8 goals in 939 minutes. It's 0.77 goals per 90 minutes for Daryl DK. That is, and again, it's the championship level. It's Barnsley, as you said, they do not play with the midfield, as far as we can tell. So I don't know. Daryl DK is exciting because he's very young, because he's new, because he looks like he's going to be locking up.
He's
a big
center
transfer.
Forward with a pulse,
and we need center forwards absolutely. And you know, it's not that easy for everybody right now. And by the way, just as a note, I believe we're talking national team center forwards that Josie Altidore is having a scan this week.
I know you left the game early. I haven't heard after that, but I know you left the game midweek early.
Yeah, we'll talk Champions League here in a little bit.
Tough times for Josie, man.
But I already played the drop, and it's been a little while since I felt like we played it without a little bit of sarcasm. He showed up. He got 2 goals, and he looks vibrant and aggressive, and I'm feeling what Christian Pulisic is doing right now.
There's something about, I don't know if it's Stanley Tucci's direction to him or what, but the way he is arriving to the box is different than the way I've seen him arrive to the box before. He is crashing the box over and over and over again. The ball's on the right, he's crashing the box on the left and just basically betting that the guys will get him the ball. You know, where in the past, I think it was more of his style to cut across the 18 and try to create something for himself and get some space. Tucci's got him crashing every time. And both of those goals came off that type of play.
Well, the first one he did check his run to find the space. I mean, there's a lot of cutback space there, right? So,
but he's getting the ball facing goal over and over and over again. That's the thing.
Yeah, and look,
and that already, finish was wonderful on the first
one. I mean, that finish was emphatic, right? That finish was... Yeah. I'm here. I'm not messing around. I know I can put this ball in the net first time, no problem, right?
There's a lot of frustration behind that goal.
It seemed like it. I mean, I don't know if you can read too much into it. And then the second one is, like you said, it's crashing the goal. It's crashing the goal mouth. It's trying to get on the end of something. And you know, we can't sit here and say, oh, it's going to be all great and gravy from here on out. But they look set up in the Champions League, right? They got the 2-goal lead going into the second leg, which won't be at home because they're playing both legs in Seville, but whatever. So they look like they're going to be a semifinalist in the Champions League. They're obviously, you know, it's also about what happens in the Premier League. I don't know. They've got a lot of options.
This is a point I was going to try to get to where a boxing fan here says Pulisic is going to wreck his hamstring running towards goal like that. Now, there's a danger, but here's what I want to say. What I took comfort in, I was nice to cover because it was tough to watch him hit the goalie, but the dude didn't pull out of that challenge for that second goal.
No, he did not.
He could have pulled out of that and tried to just get a toe touch on it and be delicate about it. That dude went full force into that ball, knowing the keeper was coming out at the same speed, came up a little bit lame, you know, but I like that he's not second-guessing his movements based off his prior injuries.
Well, there's a theory, right? And this, if you've ever played any sport, you know this is kind of true, that if you play like you're afraid of getting injured, you're gonna get injured. You're gonna do something. You're gonna move in a way that your body's not accustomed to, and you're gonna pull something or hurt something because you're trying to compensate. If you go all out, you're less likely to get injured. And yet, we are definitely worried because Christian Pulisic has this track record. Because we have to be worried because he seems to be made out of glass.
Yeah,
I would rather him go balls to the wall, all out, give everything he's got, and then he got injured. Then him tiptoe around it here you go. Wesley says Tuchel has said he's been challenging him to trust his body more. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's just a mental thing for Christian Pulisic. I got to believe that I can do this. And pulling himself off against West Brom seemed to portend bad things, and yet he's right back in the lineup. He plays in the Champions League midweek off the bench. I don't know. Being pre-injured seems weird to me.
It's interesting that Kai Havertz is hitting his form the same time as Pulisic.
By the way, Kai Havertz looked really good. Don't get me wrong, but he got lucky as hell with that goal that he scored. I mean,
yeah, But the guy's been on a tear the last couple of weeks as well. Those two guys are hitting their stride at the same time. And in the offseason, if you remember, we talked a lot about Havertz, Werner, Pulisic. Havertz was injured to start to get the season as well. There's been issues. Werner's been off the pace, completely off the pace.
Yeah, not going to hit the barn.
I'll be surprised if he's still at the team next season, to be honest with you.
You think he's really played himself away from Chelsea after all that money they spent on him? Really?
I don't know, man. Like, they're not using him. I don't know. They got a embarrassment of options. They're talking about, everyone's talking about, they're talking about Haaland. If you're going to bring Haaland in, what's Werner's role?
They're not going to buy Haaland. I don't think that's possible. But I understand.
But I like the Havertz and Pulisic. I like that they're coming up together. They're hitting their stride together because that's going to keep Pulisic in the team as long as that pairing producing.
So you have in that team, and this is not Chelsea talk. It kind of is, but only because it affects Christian Pulisic. But in terms of nines, right? You have Olivier Giroud, Tammy Abraham, and Timo Werner. Right? Those are your three options. Because Kai Havertz is not a nine.
They're playing about it, but no, he's not.
But this is what I'm saying. So if you're Stanley Tucci, do you think about next season as, all right, Werner's not working out, let's ship him out, let's get rid of him or send him on loan or whatever you do, whatever Chelsea does with players who don't work, and we'll rely on Abraham and Giroud if we need big bodies, and then we'll play with false nines the rest of the time?
I'm not sure what Giroud's contract is and how many years he has left anyway, to be honest with you. I mean, they've gotten good production out of him the times they've given him, but is that really the guy you're going to count on for the next phase of your team? Probably not. Tammy Abraham's supposed to be that guy, and he's not really producing at the same rate. If I'm Chelsea, I'm selling Werner, and I'm making a legit bid.
But isn't it the thing about Chelsea is... Isn't it always like, 3 weeks and you didn't do something good? Well, sit your ass down. We got somebody else to step up. And especially these young players, where's the rhythm going to come from?
Isn't that the Premier League, though?
No, it is, but I think it's worse at Chelsea. Like, I think it's another level at Chelsea. And look, how this plays, I think, is interesting. And Boxing Fan is saying that Pulisic looks more like a goal poacher than a winger under Stanley Tucci. That may be fair. And as you said, if he's crashing the box, he's not just sitting out wide waiting for those 1v1s, which he did have a couple times in that match against Crystal Palace. Okay, I'm fine with that. But that means he's effectively playing as a second striker? Is that what you're talking about here?
But I think the point of what Tucci's trying to get him to do, and it's not a wrong take in saying that a poacher instead of a winger. If you watch Pulisic in the most of this season, not last one, this season, Premier League teams know who he is now. He was trying to do too much, beat a guy every time he had the ball. He was trying to beat a guy every time he had the ball, which is just costing your team, and you're back on the defensive side.
Yeah.
I think there was too much of that. So what Tucci's telling him is, hey, this is a team game. Someone on the field can beat a player through the movement of the ball. You just have to be in position to take advantage of it. At the end of the day, it's a goal. Who cares if you nutmegged a guy on the way or you beat two defenders and split them? Get to the back post and finish the chance because it's a team goal. I think that's the difference in what Tucci's asking of him and what Pulisic was trying to do under Lampard.
Okay, that's fair.
I think he believed too much about in the number on his back, to be honest with you.
Maybe Tucci can adjust all of that and change his way of thinking and have him be more effective. And again, we wanted to be healthy. We wanted to play from a national team perspective. All right. In terms of again, Weston McKennie scoring a goal, we kind of breezed by it a little bit, but we should definitely mention that he got off of restriction. His dad said, "You're no longer grounded. You can come out and play with the kids again." And he rewarded him with the goal. And
with a substitution appearance, not a start.
Well, no, not a start. But hey, that's probably coming. You know, like your parents, like if you do get grounded, it's not like you just go right back to living the
road. Here's a little bit what I'm worried about.
Here's a little bit what I'm worried about McKennie.
He was Pirlo's boy, ton of run. Little bit of a knock, loses some games to a knock. Mm-hmm. Little bit of a party, loses some games to a party.
A little bit of a party.
And Dybala's back now. I'm worried that he lost some of his momentum at a time of the season where Juventus is playing better right now than they have in a little bit. You know, they're getting a little bit of shape to him. Dybala's back, scored a goal last week, which is a freaking nice goal, by the way, that he scored last week. And I'm worried that McKennie is going to maybe get sunsetted a little bit here because he wasted a little bit of his shine. Injury's not his fault, but coming back and having that party is a dumb decision, even though Dybala was there.
Oh, yeah, but Dybala was there. I mean, what, you're going to let Dybala off the hook?
Here's the thing. If you ask Juventus fans, hey, CR7's gone, who are you building around? They're saying Chiesa, and they're saying Dybala. You know, like, maybe McKennie as well.
I think McKennie's
job
is
to be that
there.
Third name.
I think he's probably in there. And the club has kind of already put it out in the world that they are going to look to maybe turn things over a little bit. Now, Juventus, you don't rebuild, you reload, right? So,
yeah.
And obviously, a lot of this is about whether or not Pirlo keeps his job. And as you said, they're pushing their way up the table. They're a point back of Milan in second. They're not going to, no one's catching Inter at this point. So Inter's going to win the Scudetto. And then it's just a matter of making sure that you're in that Champions League spot. Because if Juventus misses the Champions League, Jared, then it's all over. But this was big, right? This particular victory for, well, not the one over over Genoa, but the previous win over Napoli, where McKennie did come off the bench in that one as well, I think. Played a little bit.
Was that the one he was suspended? No, I'm sorry. It was the Derby is the one he was suspended for.
Excuse yeah, he did get off the bench, I believe, and play. Yeah, he came off the bench and played against Napoli when Juventus beat them 2-1 on Wednesday.
Here's the question. Is McKennie a bench player for Juventus right now? Or is that just where he's at because he's getting back from injury?
I think it's probably a little bit of that. I don't know. And this is one of those
Arthur situations. Arthur and Betancourt have done well in the time that he's been gone.
Sure. I don't worry. What I'm saying is I don't worry. I'm not. He may not be a starter all the way through the remainder of the season, every single game. But he'll be part of the run. And now Champions League is off the table this year.
Yeah.
It's only, I don't know where the Coppa Italia is, to be honest with you. I think they're probably still in it.
I think they're semis.
Yeah, I think they, something like that. They do two legs in the semis. It gets real weird over there in Italy. They like to mix it up. So I think I'm okay. Like, I'm not concerned. Because again, this is from all through a national team prism. Like, do I worry about Christian Pulisic's form if he's not playing? Yeah. Do I worry about Weston McKennie's form right now or his sharpness? Not so much. Coming off of injury,
Going into this weekend, I was more worried about Pulisic than I was McKennie. And now I say that's probably still the case. I think Pulisic's got a lot more. He has a lot more to lose on that team because there's such star players around that can take the spots.
Yes,
I think
right.
McKennie, what he does is a little bit unique for Juventus, and it's also situational. And I think Pirlo's saying that some games what he brings isn't as necessary as other ones. So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about it before the season, before when he arrived, before the season even started. Yeah, it's been that long. You know, that he was going to be challenging for time with Betancourt, with Rabiot, with Arthur. Those are the players. And he's been doing so well. Why would I doubt that he can work his way back in? Because I don't.
But I want to address this from Oliver here. He says, this in-depth analysis of Juve, chef's kiss. Does this mean the era of Jared not getting up to watch European games is over? No. It means the era of Jared watching highlights on YouTube afterwards is very much in favor. Actually,
oh,
no. I'll say this. I ain't getting up for no English game. Those things are too early. The Bundesliga games are League games are too early. The Italian games, just right, baby. They play like a little bit later afternoon because they're you know they can take they get that little later, lower lazy fare kind of lifestyle in Italy.
Yeah,
that hits right up the right part for me. 9 a.m. my time.
The Italians and the Spaniards are like, you know what? No, we're just gonna chill. We're good. Get me my what time is it? 7:30? Well, dinner in 4 hours is what they're doing.
Those two leagues are made for your boy over here on the West Coast.
I will say that we're still in a hey, look, he's sleeping better now, but Thiago wakes us up pretty early. Like there'll be Saturdays when it's like, what time is it? 6:30? And I'm feeding him, whatever, helping my wife. And I look at my phone and I'm like, people are talking about Arsenal. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you sleeping right now? You're talking about Arsenal football
because they're Arsenal till they die, Jason.
I know. And you know what? God love them for being committed.
Born in
to,
Syracuse,
to that.
London till they die.
that's not cool.
Damn, dog. That's an approach.
That's not cool. All right. So I just want to roll through a couple of more American performances. Brian Reynolds started, Jared, for Roma.
I was surprised.
Bologna today. Yeah. You know, and I don't think he was bad or good or anything particularly.
I have to go back and watch that because I was so surprised. It wasn't even on my radar to like tune in or even catch some of it. Then all of a sudden I found out after the fact the dude started.
Yeah.
So definitely interested to hear if any of our besties saw the game, want to call and give us a little recap of it. I wouldn't mind hearing it. You know how he did. But they seem to be liking him. I think he's gotten some sub minutes. Now he's getting a start. We'll see what happens, but I'm interested to see the fact that they are trusting him. They're giving him significant minutes. Mm-hmm. He could have gone over there and just been unimpressed by him, you know.
Could have.
We'll
yes.
see.
Could have happened. Now, I know that neither of us have watched every single game with all these American players in Europe. It's just impossible. But give me one sentence on every one of these guys as I go through them real quick. All right,
good.
We'll just burn through. Anthony Robinson played 90 minutes as Fulham lost to Wolves on Friday.
Rising.
he's rising. You're going to give
I
him
think
a,
so. I, like I said, I think he hit a little bit of a speed bump in the middle of the season. Young player. Like, so he had that red card at one point. I think that was a little bit tough for him. I think he's on the rise again right now.
Okay. There you go. See, championship. I'm not really. Dwayne Holmes is the only other player that interests me. He went 82 minutes, but they played a goalless draw against Rotherham. Did Huddersfield
I'll say
Town.
Indifferent. He's not really on my radar okay. right
All
now.
All right, that's fair enough. Let's see. Let's keep going down the list. John Brooks, 90 minutes. Wolfsburg, 4-3. They lost to Frankfurt. As a defender, I don't know anything about that game.
I believe this is a compound word, so I'm going to use it. Hardwood. Okay. The dude is just like, he's oak. That dude's oak, man. Like, you just... I didn't mean it like that, dude.
I thought you were going to drop some German on us, because you know how they, those compound words?
Me?
Like, not going to happen?
No. Glockenspiel.
Okay. Josh Sargent, 83 minutes. Werder Bremen lost to Leipzig 4-1. Not a good performance for
him. I'll say this. Par.
Okay.
That's exactly what you expect from him right now.
Gio Reyna started, had an assist. Dortmund came back against Stuttgart, and Pellegrino Matarazzo managing Stuttgart. They came back. They were down in that game.
Yeah, I'd say active. That's the word I was used for Gio in that game. I was really, really impressed that he seemed hungry again. I don't think he's looked hungry for a while. I think the bench minutes have done something for him. And okay. I think he'll get another start out coming off this one. I think that's how involved and how good he looked in this game.
Now, maybe somebody in the chat knows why this happened. Tyler Adams played only a half for Leipzig in that 4-1 victory.
I think they were up 2 or 3-0 at halftime, I believe. Uh-huh. I think. I'm not positive, but
so
I think they were up.
So, arrest him situation? Is that what you think that is for Nagelsmann?
I'm not positive. Maybe someone can correct me, but I think they were ahead in that game. I'm sorry if I misread my stat line on that, but
okay.
I think so.
They were definitely up, because they waxed the floor with Werder Bremen. Hoppe played off the bench as Schalke beat Augsburg 1-0. Nothing particularly interesting there.
My word for him is move. Get out of Schalke.
Yeah, get out of Schalke. Sergiño Dest, 45 minutes in El Clasico.
Rough.
Yeah.
That's my see. Real Madrid had their way with him in the first half. He got taken out at halftime. He definitely did not. He did not look like himself. Here's the problem about Real Madrid. Real Madrid highlights the problems in Sergiño Dest, and that's his defensive capabilities.
Oh yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you're not able
when you're playing some of the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're playing some of the dog teams of La Liga, Sergiño Dest you're gonna see the best version of him, you know, because he's not asked to do anything going the other way. He's got to up his defensive game in the offseason.
Okay. Yunus Musa came off the bench, played 27 minutes. Valencia with a draw against Real Sociedad today, 2-2. I don't know much about that. Any minutes are good minutes for Yunus at this point. He wasn't getting a ton. He's still not, but
my word for him would be minutes. He needs more minutes.
Okay.
He's got to get more minutes somehow.
I'm not. Conor De La Fuente played in Barcelona B's game on today, but that's not the part that concerns me. He has been mentioned as a possible transfer target in the summer as Barca tries to fix some of their financial issues.
I think
issues.
It's beyond that. I think, yeah, Barca has actually said he is available for transfer. I believe they've come out this week and put him on the shopping block, put him in the window.
Couldn't tell you how much he's worth. Couldn't tell you where
no
he
idea.
Should go. Where should Conrad De La Fuente go?
I mean, pedigree means a lot in Europe. A lot of people pay for pedigree, you know, so maybe he gets a decent move. I think maybe I'd like to see him go someplace, maybe like Eredivisie or something like that, someplace that you can play a little technical style, but there's not a lot of
defending.
Strikers do well. Yeah, strikers do well in Eredivisie for a reason.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's not a lot of defending.
Build your confidence up. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Get some minutes, build your chops someplace, put yourself in the window. Worst thing he can do is go, so try to make a Premier League move and he just wastes away. So it goes on low.
No,
just
don't do
Rangers.
That. Yes. Don't do that. Tim Weah played 15 minutes off the bench as Lille beat Metz on Friday. They continue to hold a top spot in France.
Stoked for him, but he's got to get some starts, man. He's got to get some starts.
He's been in there a little bit. It's been a back and forth situation.
If he wants a starting spot in the national team, he needs to have a starting spot at his club team.
Oh, well, okay. All right. See, Reggie Cannon played in a 3-3 draw on Saturday. That's 68
Portugal,
minutes.
Dude. I don't know.
Okay, Matt Miazga, 90 minutes for Anderlecht as they beat Club Brugge on Sunday. That would be today. Mark McKenzie came off the bench, played 45 minutes as Genk beat St. Truiden today. Ethan Horvath did not play. I don't know why I mentioned him. Let's see. Luca Del Torre, who we focused on in midweek.
I think Tyler Boyd got another 2 goals in Turkey this week.
I think he's something like that. I'm still going down the list here.
Tyler Boyd is having one of the most ghost good seasons. No one's talking about Tyler Boyd. Dude's scoring goals down there, but the question is, it's in Turkey.
He did
like,
not.
No one's like,
that, I think he scored midweek. I don't think he scored on the weekend, but yeah.
But it was 2 goals though, right?
I don't have it in front of me. It
I
sounds
believe
right.
So.
Maybe I'm disrespecting Turkey, or maybe I'm disrespecting Tyler Boyd. I don't know. It's he's He's a nice player, but I feel like we've elevated past him in a couple of with the players that are available in those spots, particularly if Gio's playing out there, yeah. Tim Weah's out there. Those questions. Brendan Aaronson, maybe Oster's not better than
Turkey. How my boy Luca Della Torre, dude? Did he get some minutes this week?
Did I mention him? 79 minutes in Heracles, 4-0 win.
I'm not going to say that.
Why not? It's how you
Heracles?
Heracles. Yes. Heracles Almelo. Come on, say it with me. Heracles Almelo.
I'm not going to roll the R like that because I can't.
I'm not rolling the R. Heracles
You did
Almelo.
The first time.
Heracles. I didn't do that.
Yes, you did. Oh, if my God. Play the tape back. I swear to God.
I don't have the capability to do that. We're not doing
you
that.
You Puerto Rico'd that thing up.
I might have. I do have a problem where my brain, if I don't try to pronounce it just with a flat American accent, my brain's like, throw the Latin in there and then the Spanish in there. And next thing I know, I'm like, that's not a Spanish word. And how did I just pronounce that? We have been told that Tyler Adams came off because of a back injury. I shared that already once. Let's share it again. I don't know how serious that is.
They did have a lead, too, so there wasn't much to risk him either. You know, you probably want to get him off of it at that point, and there's not much to risk.
Morgan is just throwing words at me now to see if I'll pronounce them with a Spanish accent. Do you think I should do it?
If you can do broccoli, I'm impressed.
What, broccoli? I don't know. Okay. Just rolled the R's. All right, let's move on. That's the Americans abroad. Some good stuff there with Pulisic scoring twice and Weston McKennie scoring a goal. Let's talk about the U.S. Women's National Team friendly against Sweden yesterday, Jared. And this was like soccer palooza. I don't know. I need a better one than that. But at the same time, we had Pulisic and Chelsea with Pulisic in the starting lineup, Giovanni Reyna and Dortmund with Gio in the starting lineup, and the U.S. Women's National Team all playing at the same time. It was really tough to follow all three things that happened at the same time. But I did flip over to the U.S. Women.
The interesting thing about the Sweden game. Oh, go ahead, please.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I would throw it out there. They ended up with a 1-1 draw, which really is flattering to them because they didn't get the goal until late through the penalty. And if you watch 90 minutes of soccer, you watch Sweden clamp them down. It was an excellent defensive performance.
Two things were on display and apparent in that game. Rose Lavelle's the shit.
She's been really good for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, she's so good. The problem is...
Secret to her superpower? Skyline Chili. That's what I've been told. It's all about Skyline Chili. She's a Cincinnati girl.
Seems heavy for an athlete.
for Rose Lavelle? Absolutely.
The other thing that's very apparent is that if Carly Lloyd is the center forward for the Olympics, we're going to have problems.
And she's not.
Alex Morgan wasn't playing in that game, but... It can't be Carly Lloyd. It's starting to have the question, who's after Alex Morgan? Are we one true center forward deep that Carly Lloyd is the second option right now?
Well, so remember that you can only take 18 players to the Olympics, but so that's not going to be like the
okay,
World
but who's
Cup
the second
team?
Second? Who? Okay, you're taking Alex Morgan. That's your starter. No debate, right? Alex Morgan's starter for this team. Center forward.
Yes, 100%.
Is Carly Lloyd the legit backup? I don't mean to discount Carly Lloyd and what she's given to the team and her abilities,
by the way,
all that stuff.
Carly Lloyd, let's just go ahead and give her
300th cap in that game.
Yes, absolutely. Let's give her the round of applause, the celebration, all of that stuff, because 300 caps is an insane number of caps. I know it's the women, it's a little bit different than the men's, the numbers and how they work, but come on,
a position change from center midfield to center forward at some point in her career too, to make it go to 300 games, and she's been useful in that transition as well. But I'm worried that when Abby Wambach was the lead, you knew you had Alex Morgan behind coming up. Who's the next one? And I know there's candidates, but I feel like that transition should be happening already, and it's not because Carly Lloyd is still the name that people are in love with.
It seems like the United States has the same sort of problem, the U.S. women's national team, the same sort of problem that the men's team has, which is, especially in a 4-3-3, what you've got is a bunch of wide forwards, like a bunch of options out there. Pulisic and Aaronson and Weah, and I'm missing like three other people. We threw in Tyler Boyd. Obviously, for the U.S. women, it's even richer, right? It's Press and it's Rapinoe and you know, who knows if Mallory Pugh recaptures things, and now you throw in Lynn Williams who obviously Vlatko likes a lot. So I don't know. I don't know. Press can play center forward, and this is true, and she's been doing it a little bit at Manchester United since she moved over there.
Yeah.
I don't think she's not the typical, right?
But it's also like you're duct taping into that position. Like that's not, everyone we're saying is not necessarily their regular position. I mean, Lim Williams is usually on the outside because their speed is such a threat.
Right.
Kristen Press is usually cutting from the outside because that's her strength. Like,
oh, Alex, yeah, there's Morgan, no back to goal. There's no back to goal player.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what worries me when I'm looking down the line here is that we've got a lot of players that can play really well from the outside in and even create through the middle. But who's going to stretch a defense outside of Alex Morgan?
You know, the funny thing about you saying is Carly Lloyd our second choice at center forward is that Carly Lloyd was a midfielder. Only a forward now because she's later in her career and it requires less running. But that
she pulled a Laurentiwicz. By the way, rest in peace, Jeff Laurentiwicz. He's not dead, but I mean, he's retired.
I was like, what? Wait, hold on. What? That's not.
Damn, dog.
In a probes.
Rest in peace. You mean, like,
I just couldn't think of something better in the moment, but.
Rest your body, have a beer, like that kind of thing, right?
That's retire insane. In peace, Jeff Laurentiwicz.
Ah, okay. I got you now. That works. Okay. RIP, yes. To him and to DMX. Completely different kind of rest in peace for DMX.
Dude, did you see the video of when his body was leaving the hospital and the whole crowd in the streets?
No, I did not see that.
Oh my God. They were playing his music and it was just like bumping. They were like, it was like the world's greatest New York wake.
Oh,
as he was leaving the hospital.
I gotta go find that. Yeah.
It's great. Look, it's on TikTok.
I'm not gonna say that I've like was stuck with X through the rest of his career, but in that 98 to 2001 era, like it was everywhere.
The best thing about the stuff that's come out this week with DMX is like all the random crap he would show up at. Like there's video of him doing the Albanian weddings Kosovo. Like what the heck? How is my man there?
Yeah, I don't know. He's doing some sort of concert and he happens to wander into a wedding and they're like, sure, come on in. Yeah, pretty nuts. Okay, so yeah, look, is that the major problem though? And is that
the
why
defense is an issue too? The defense is an issue. That I think that Sweden shouldn't have been able to put them on the back foot as much as they did. And the U.S. made chances. They didn't finish them, and that might be partly due to the striker that was up front. But Sweden was able to force points to this game more than you would expect them. I mean, this isn't England. Not to give Sweden's always been a classically good team in the women's game, but this isn't England. I mean, this isn't France. Like Sweden's tier two. You know, so it's interesting to watch that happen. We had a conversation earlier about Becky Sauerbrunn still the center back for the next X amount of years? Who is?
Sure. I mean, look, this is not this was not everything Vlatko would have wanted available to him for this game, right? Because you didn't have Sam Uys. I love Lindsey Horan. I think she's an incredible athlete.
Me too.
I said this once on Twitter. Lindsey Horan is one of those athletes that could pick up a game she's never played before and wipe the floor with you. Like she could decide to play golf and shoot a 65. Like it's just like that for her.
I love her. Chains.
But I think Sam Uys is the better option there. I think she's the more, I don't know what the word is, composed. Maybe I mean
that is one of the questions. Like, why did it take so long to get Sam Uys on the field yesterday?
Has she been hurt coming back from injury, right? Isn't that part of...
I'm not aware.
Not 100%?
Potentially. Okay. I'm not sure.
I mean, look...
But that game needed her earlier is what I'm saying. Is that game needed her earlier than when she got in.
I just don't... I guess what I'm saying is it's still... We're still kind of nitpicking on this team. And yes, you don't want to leave it to a late penalty kick in order to draw Sweden. But Sweden is incredibly organized. That's one of the things. And they were physical as hell. They were kicking the United States all over the place. There is something to be said about...
And that's usually the U.S.'s job, to be honest with you.
There's something to be said about figuring out how to deal with that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not... I don't know. Am I concerned? I don't know. I guess that's kind of where I'm trying to figure out. Should I be concerned about that result or not?
I think the reason why it brings concern is because there was a winning streak that was going on. That ended. Still like a winless streak going on. But it's just not what you're used to seeing. And this team's allowed to have a slip up. We're just not used to it. We forget that teams are allowed to have a slip up. And that's what this is.
That's not a slip, though. I mean, Vlatko's still undefeated. I know, again, it takes a late penalty.
It's not a win. It is not a win, a convincing win. You're just coming off the Sheba Leaves Cup where you were trouncing a team in the final.
Sure.
And now you're playing 1-1 draw. Let me
go through this real quick because we do have a lot of other business to get to and I want to save some time. But let's do this real fast. So I'm going to give – I got a ding and I got a buzzer. And you tell me as I go through this lineup that played against Sweden, that 1-1 draw on Saturday, if that's the starter You know, I'm going to go through every one of the 11 okay. positions, and you tell me if that's the starter you have on the field in a gold medal game at the Olympics, for example. Okay? So, Alyssa Mayer in goal.
Yes.
Yes. Kelly O'Hara at right back.
No. I don't know who is, though. I'm just saying she's not a lock. That's
Emily
all I'm
Sonnet?
Saying. I don't know what the answer is. I just don't. We're in between right now at that position.
Okay.
I don't think that position is a lock. I love Kelly O'Hara. I mm-hmm. think she could potentially be the person.
Be
but
careful.
That position That's, is up for grabs.
The way you said that might lead to a restraining order. I just want to be careful.
I play okay. defense. That's why I like the way she plays. It's hard nose, puts her head yeah. on stuff.
Yeah. No, but, Kelly O'Hara is great, but maybe, as you said, maybe
I think
we're
that's one of the
to...
3 to 4 positions that is open for debate.
Well, let's go. Okay, so Becky Sauerbrunn, you've already kind of opened the door. She's the captain right now. She's obviously, her experience is off the charts, but it's the physical element of the game.
She's the position for through the Olympics for sure.
Okay, she's going to start. Tierna Davidson alongside her.
No, I am a Dolphin fan.
Okay, Abby Dahlkemper. And again, this is a team that Blacko put out against Sweden, in Sweden. No Abby Dahlkemper, okay? Crystal Dunn at left back. But we
Lock.
Could ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Now, move Crystal Dunn to forward, please. But for now, we don't have another yeah. left back.
Pick
Crystal
your poison.
Dunn at right. Okay. The three in the midfield. Lindsey Horan.
This is tough. This is freaking tough. Because you could ding all three of these and be wrong. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Julie Ertz.
Yes.
Julie Ertz is a yes because yes. there's still not a player.
But because by saying yes to this, I'm going to be hurt on the next one.
So the next one is Rose Lavelle, and you're saying no to Rose Lavelle because of Sam Lewis?
This one's up for grabs. This okay. one is up for grabs to me. And okay. the problem is we need all four and switch to a 4-2-4-2, in my opinion. We just don't have a second good positional striker to put up there.
No, that's true. All right, the forward line that Vlatko rolled out, Kristen Press on the left.
Yes.
Okay. Carly Lloyd in the middle. And Lynn Williams on the right.
No. Okay, here's for me. This is a big, huge switch. I think Vlatko has to find a way to get Rose Lavelle, Sam Mewis, Lindsey Horan, and Julie Ertz all on the field at the same time. That means going to a 4-4-2.
It's not the way he's going to play it.
But if you go to a 4-4-2, you get your best players on the field, and then you don't have to find that third striker up front, which is where we're struggling right now with Tobin Heath out.
No, I understand that. But
you play Alex Morgan and Kristen Press up top.
We already said it. You have so many wide forward options, not midfielders. You're not playing Kristen Press in the midfield. You're not playing Lynn Williams in the midfield. No. You're not playing Megan Rapinoe in the midfield. You're not playing Midge Purse in the midfield. Midge Purse can play right back. But you're not playing you're not playing those players in the midfield. They have to be forwards, and they have to be wide forwards because they don't have the back-to-goal game that you're talking about unless you just forego yeah. that. And maybe you do. Maybe that's Kristen Press, and you forego that. I don't know.
But by going to that four-person midfield, you then Julie Ertz can freely fall into the Crystal Dunn spot when she goes forward without losing anything really in midfield. That cover is there. It should be there even in a three-wing system, and that alley should be there for her. But the finishing up front, we're not stretching defenses enough at the front end. And I think going to a two-woman front up there would potentially do that. I know I'm old school. I get that I'm wrong, and I'm going to have haters on this. But for me, how do you not? Your best players are those midfield four, and you got to find a way to get them in the lineup.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe Vlatko will throw a wrinkle.
I don't.
Maybe he'll figure out a way to throw a wrinkle. So the U.S. women's national team with a 1-1 draw against Sweden on Saturday as they get ready for the Olympics, and it's going to be 18 players, and that's going to be really tough. By the way, the substitutes, you mentioned Sam Mewis coming on. Alex Morgan did get on, and she's how close she is to 100%, it's kind of hard to know.
She looked pretty good, and she believes, to be honest
but
with you.
She, yeah, she did.
Round out.
She did. Megan Rapinoe came on, and Kristy Mewis came on. And I don't know. He's obviously committed to the Kristy Mewis thing, but we don't know if she's going to the Olympics.
Now, in a two-striker system, don't you like Kristy Mewis way more with Alex Morgan?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I do too. Now, Kristen Press is fantastic in a three-woman front line, and I think that's her spot. But if you go to a two, now all of a sudden, Kristen Mewis is interesting to me. Mm, she's okay. very interesting to me as an off striker to Alex Morgan holding the ball.
Okay, we're gonna breeze by this a little bit, guys, just because it's not the MLS season, and we do want to save some time to talk about MLS coming up. This is our last live show before the MLS season kicks off, and a note here: if you're gonna look for our predictions. We're going to put those on the bonus show. So if you want our predictions all in audio form, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow for all the predictions. We're going to record that a little bit later and post it.
While we're talking to Patreon, shout out to our boy Thomas for sending this New Mexico United jersey over to your boy, because for once, I got something that Jason didn't. And I do not have that one.
This is the funny thing. I threw this on before the show. We did not plan. This is the infamous Taigo shirt, by the way. I'm not going to show you, but it's in the back. We did not plan to be wearing USL championship shirts, both of us, and for clubs that are, you know, nominally rivals in the Western Conference of that league. Yeah. Like, we didn't plan that. So that's the thing. Okay.
I'm free, according to Nick. I'm free as a Galaxy fan in MLS. I'm free to whore myself to the lower leagues of America and their awesome kits. And this is one of them.
Do that.
And that. Well, before we just move on, we got MLS to talk about. The hotness that is the women's league in this America and their jersey game is on point. And that Louisville stuff. Oh my God!
The Louisville stuff is good. Louisville knocked it out of the park. The Ad Astra from Orlando Pride is a home run. The Gotham FC. It's
kind of two on the nose, New York, isn't it? Isn't it two on the nose, New York? I love myself with some Mr. Wolf, you know.
But if you're trying that, then just do. I mean, if you want to be New York, just be New York. Put it on there, two on the nose. Make yourself New York. And they got the sash, which I'm a sucker for sash.
I'm really interested to see how Angel City approaches it when they get their stuff out there. Like,
we're gonna find out.
That team has to hit a home run. It has to hit a home run.
So this is what I was going to talk about. Breezing by CONCACAF Champions League. We're not really going to spend a lot of time on it. All the MLS teams got a decent result. In their first leg, they all go to go back home and try to close it out, and somebody's going to slip up. And if you're going to ask me who is most likely to
Toronto,
it's because they're playing a Mexican club and they own
and they're without Jose Altidor.
No Jose Altidor, and they're going to be in Florida, not even in Toronto, and no
and
fans.
All of a sudden, Michael Bradley's supposed to play offense.
Yeah, apparently, according to Chris Armas. I think we can mention that Atlanta United is lucky as hell because that was not. Handball in the box. Do I have my games mixed up? That Philadelphia one? No. Philadelphia scored a legit goal. The Atlanta United goal from Ezekiel Barco on the handball, which was not a handball, a ball to the face.
But, Heinze's got some stones on him, dude. He played a few 17-year-olds in that game. He played his youth in that game. And
I think he knows. But I think Gabriel Heinze knows his bread is buttered by the league and not by the Champions League. I mean, I'm sure they want to progress. But come on, I think he knows he's being paid to win a championship, not to advance in this tournament, especially considering how bad they were last year. Philadelphia showed some fight and some Philly fire, and I'm loving that. So let's give a
red card at the end of that game, either by the tackle or the guy that straight armed the referee in the back at the end. I don't know how there was no red card in that game. That was the most CONCACAF thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, Columbus Crews, Portland with a draw on the road, that's fine. I mean, the grass was like 3 feet high, and, they were missing a bunch of attacking players, and they still managed to score twice and get out of there, so I'm fine with that. Let's move on. Let's talk MLS and the coming season, and since we're going to save our predictions for the bonus show, the best bonus show, I want to do this instead. Let's go through the weekend that we have coming up, Jared, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And we'll pick the best game on the schedule, the most watchable game, right? It might not be the most high-profile marquee matchup game, but the game we think is most watchable for those people
This is the way I've framed it in my mind. My wife has told me that I'm only allowed to watch one game a day, so I have a relationship with my family. Oh. So I have to pick one each day. No, she didn't actually tell me that, but that's my theory in my head.
Oh, okay, I see.
Is that
so you're going to pitch this to her, like, oh, this is my compromise.
My wife is so super chill. You know, she let me do whatever I want, but with games.
I was going to say, like, oh.
But I'm sure there's some families out there where the husband... Where the husband and or wife is not as understanding. So if your significant other is making you make some choices, we're going to tell you which game we think you should watch. And if you want to get into 717-727-BEST, let us know if we got it wrong and there's a game that you think is better. But don't be a homer and just tell us your team. I'm trying not to say the Galaxy, okay? Because first of all, why would you watch them? Like, why would you watch them?
I don't know. I did get to interview Chicharito Hernandez. And Jonathan Dos Santos. Oh, and Greg Vanney. I interviewed all three of those people for the radio show.
Do you still have those?
I have a radio. Did you know? Yeah.
Like it's, AM and FM, like an antenna and everything?
This is more like a satellite situation, but it's, it still modern. Counts. That's it's cool. The radio. Yeah, you can put it on your
it's
car.
Like Star Trek, dude.
If you buy a new car in America, chances are you can listen to my show. I don't know if you knew that.
For did 1 year that? Free.
For 1 year free. That's right. All right. So I talked to all three of them. It's very interesting. I'll say this. Tito Hernandez, he's not hiding. The dude knows that he sucked, and he knows he's got to do better. And he said he's willing to, you know, do the dirty
work. He's got eyeballs.
And Jonathan Dos Santos, they're all really nice guys. How do I hate Mexico if they're really nice guys?
Dude, Jonah is just such a nice guy, man. He's like, the Chicharito, nicest I can find reasons to hate Chicharito still. But Jonah Dos Santos, I can't, man. The dude's such a good guy.
Apparently, I did one of the first actual interviews with him in English. He was very proud of himself. I said, your English is really,
he's been building
really good.
He's been building it for a while now.
Yeah, shout out to LA Galaxy for hooking all that up. Okay, let's do this. Friday night, there are two games. So you only have two choices here, Mr. Dubois. And this will effectively become a pick your poison, but I'm not going to play it. We do have one of those coming up with Nikki Soup and Salad coming up in a couple minutes. Houston, San Jose, that's 8 p.m. Eastern time, I believe, is the kickoff for that one. And the second game is Seattle hosting Minnesota. That's a late night kickoff for us, but a nice 6:30 for you out on the West Coast.
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to pick the Seattle-Minnesota game. I think that's chalk for most people.
I mean, it has to be, right?
And here's the reason why I do it. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why, because this is two of the teams that were fighting till the end last season, two of the best teams last year in the West. But for me, the real reason I want to watch is I want to see what Seattle looks like without Jordan Morris.
Okay,
I want to see what that team looks like.
I don't think they're going to replicate that Western Conference final. It's not going to happen again. That thing was bonkers. But they could have a game like that. There could be something there. Now,
and I want to see what Minnesota looks like without Kevin Molino as well.
Yeah, well, they got to deal with that. They did just sign the center forward out of Boca Juniors, Avila. Don't know how quickly they can integrate him. Don't know a lot in terms of what he's going to add to the team right away. He's not one of these young Brenner types. He's an older player who's got some experience. I think there was some concern about Nicolas Ladero's health, maybe an injury for him. Day-to-day is what they're describing at. Now, that was a couple days ago. If he's still day-to-day coming up to Friday night, we might have a problem for Seattle, and that would definitely take the watchability quotient down if no Nicolas Ladero.
Yeah, Diaz Arce is going to be just man-marked hard. You know, Rui Diaz. God dang it, I do that every time. Why do I do that? Rui Diaz, that's just like the old man MLS in me, dude. I swear to God. Rui Diaz is going to be marked out of that game. If there's no Morris and no Ladero on the field, you know what everything's going to go through. It's really predictable. So I hope it doesn't come to that because I want a good game to watch. My choice on the night.
I don't want to hate on Houston and San Jose too much because I think San Jose is always interesting to watch. Doesn't really matter whether good or bad. They're just wild. And I want Houston to be good. I don't think they got the horses. I don't think they're going to spend enough money. But
by the way, I came up with a better analogy for what Brian Schmetzer's fashion is. Okay. I was thinking about it since our last show. Mm-hmm. His fashion sense is 15 minutes late for the class professor. Like the professor is always last second walking in the door for his, sorry guys. Traffic
you know
was
why?
Terrible.
You know why? His dog pooped on the rug. That's why he's late to class.
Something like that. He's the professor that when you see the inside of their car or something like that, it's like, God. Why are there five Circle K Polar Pop like styrofoam cups on the floorboard?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Let's go to Saturday then.
This is a feast.
This will be a lot of games. So I'm going to roll through all. I'm going to list all the games. You tell me, Jared, where you're going with this. Montreal hosting Toronto, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Orlando hosting Atlanta at 3. LAFC hosting Austin at 6. DC United hosting NYCFC at 8. FC Dallas hosting Colorado at 8. New York Red Bulls hosting Kansas City at 8. Chicago Fire hosting New England at 8:30, and Nashville hosting Cincinnati at 8:30 as well. Where are you going?
So here's the question, man. You had to ask yourself, do you want to watch good soccer or do you want to have some entertainment value?
Do you want chaos? You want chaos? You're rooting for chaos.
Not just chaos, entertainment, I'm saying. So for me, I'm watching LAFC Austin, okay?
I think that's an out of left field kind of pick. I don't think
Austin's first game. I kind of want to see what happens. There's a good chance Matthew McConaughey is in Hollywood. You know, like he might make an appearance. Okay.
He could.
You might see a shot of him in the stands with his shirt off and a tall boy in his hand rooting for his team. Okay. Uh-huh. If they score, he might run on the field. Okay. Like these things all could happen in this game.
That's funny.
Also, I mean, LAFC's also plays one of the best games in the league, and I'm always got the eye on my rivals, you know? So I would go watch for that one just to see the entertainment factor, what Austin, new team to the league, what they're looking like. I want to see what those jerseys look like on person, like, too, because those jerseys look hot. So that's where I'm going. And okay. I'm guaranteeing you it's not the best football you're going to watch all week.
Well, though. I think LAFC, so I think Austin is going to struggle because they're new. Not necessarily they don't have a lot of talent. They've got some nice pieces. I think Alex Ring is really good. I think it's a great choice for them to pick him up to roll into season one. I'm going to go different than you, though. So we agree on Seattle and Minnesota on Friday night. I'm gonna pick Atlanta and Orlando.
That was my other one.
There is that animosity there. They don't like each other. Orlando finally beat them in 2020. Hadn't done that yet in their history, in Atlanta's history. Joseph Martinez is back. We're going to see maybe the debut of Pato, like the first time Pato's in a game in Major League Soccer. Gabriel Heinze and this press after the midweek test that he had in the Champions League. I'm going with that one. And
a
I think
battle of tracksuits on the sideline?
Because that's true, yeah. This fashion game is not going to be on point. But because it's Florida, there's going to be people in the building, right?
I think they said 15,000 or 8,000. 8,000 for that game or something?
I have no idea, but there's going to be people in there. They're going to be drunk and shirtless, and I'm watching. I'm watching for that reason.
I think that's a good shout. Because also, I want to see how Orlando's going to deal with the DK loss. Because, like, once again, a lot of my viewing so far has been how our team's going to deal with loss. Because it's significant. Because how they deal with this, how Pareja, and you know me, I'm a fan of Pareja, how he chooses to approach this is going to tell a lot about Orlando's season, because it's likely whatever issues they're having right this second is going to be a whole season long thing.
Oh, sure.
You know, that money for replacement and that window is a long ways away, and they got a limp to August basically to try and get something out of him potentially. So that's interesting to me. The Pato thing is good. And Joseph Martinez, come on. Who doesn't want to see Joseph Martinez get a hat trick and like cry a single tear out of your eye because
you're
so happy he's back?
In Orlando, Nikki Soup and Salad. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I have to add another one. We went with, what was it last week? Nikki Soup and Soprano, right? Because he was, I don't know. What was
I almost picked his boy. I almost picked his game. I almost picked the National.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Okay.
I almost picked the National Cincinnati game because I think that's a good rivalry game.
Okay. I was also going to say, you're also now, you're Nikki Soup and Salad, or Nikki Soup and Sausage, Nikki Soup and Salad. Nikki Soup and Skyline is the one I'm adding to Nikki Soup and Soprano. Nick is back on the Skyline wag, at least for a little. You're doing so good, Nick. I mean, look at
it.
I know. It looks amazing. So what do you got for us?
Well, I was going to chime in. I was really looking forward to Orlando, Atlanta, but I really wish that BDE was going to be there. Like, this is a huge matchup.
Well,
it sucks that it's so.
Here's the thing. If he's not in Barnsley scoring the goals, you're not nearly as excited for him being in this game, right?
Oh, but I disagree.
But here's
I disagree.
Off of last year only.
I was really excited for
Barnsley. Barnsley was pretty happy with him based off last year alone. You know, so here's what you can do, though. Watch the Orlando-Atlanta game. Have his Twitter feed up. You know he's going to be tweeting during this damn thing. You know, like, live it with him. If I'm DK, I'm doing a Twitch stream of this game.
No, but what I know about Daryl DK is he's going to be, like, complimenting Atlanta. Oh, they play such nice football. And then also go Lions. He's not going to take shots. He's not going to talk trash.
I don't think he would compliment Atlanta.
Isn't that his move, though? People can't see it, like what Jason and I are doing. But, like, literally when you watch him, like, he's such a nice guy.
He's such a great guy.
And like, he literally, like, fist in front of his face. Go you Reds. Or, like
he goes, buzzing off a win. Go you Reds. Buzzing off a win.
I love that, dude. Yeah, all right, so great. Nikki's going with Atlanta, Orlando as well. I'm the one misnomer on that.
Okay. All right, so Nikki, Soup and Salad, Soprano, Skyline Chili in the mix there. Let's go to Sunday. And there are a couple of options here on Sunday. I think three games on Sunday to close it out. Miami hosting your boys, the LA Galaxy. Columbus hosting Philadelphia. And Vancouver hosting Portland. These are all actually nice, tasty kind of. That last one has some issues with the Vancouver side of things.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's still some
Cascadia
intrigue.
Game. Still KC still Cascadia game. Yes. I mean, obviously, I'm going to watch the LA-Miami game, but that's probably not what I would recommend for everyone else to watch, because that could be straight-up 0-0 boring-ass soccer. It definitely could.
By the way, we have to adjust again. So your club constantly changes the name of your stadium. It's Dignity Health Sports Bank Park and Spa, something like that.
I just call it StubHub, dude.
I know. StubHub, Home Depot, whatever it is. The stadium in Fort Lauderdale, which has existed for a year as a, you know, erector set, is now called Drive Pink Stadium, except there's no vowels. It's DRVPNK. Drive Pink Stadium. You have to remember that.
People are no, I don't have to remember that. You know what I'm going to say? That place in Miami. That's what. Here's the thing. For all the listeners out there that aren't Jason Davis, who has a show and has to get people on, so he has to sound good to them. The rest of us, we don't have to do this shit. We don't have to call these places. I don't have to call Home Depot Center of America, whatever it's called. I don't have to call it anything. I can just say what I want to say. Every one of you, call it what you want to call it. Don't play the game. Stop playing the game. Jason can't do that. He's got to play the game. But the rest of us, stop doing it.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you. Okay, first of all, this is a deal with AutoNation, which is a giant car dealer. But the Drive Pink thing is about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm just saying. So, you know, just it's about that.
How would I know that? They took all the vowels out of it. How would I know that? If you respected breast cancer, you'd put all the vowels in there so I understand what's going on here.
But it's obviously supposed to be like a license plate where you take the vowels out. Like, you wanted to put J. Rhodius where
you
have a bunch of vowels.
Obviously, I didn't get that until you told me. I didn't see it visually. I haven't seen it visually, so maybe it makes sense when you see it visually. I don't know.
Well, it's all capital letters, DRV. PNK. It looks like a license plate when you think about it.
I'm sure it does look. Okay, now seeing it like that, I kind of get it. Nicholas Murray just put it on the screen. I kind of get it a little bit. But I still don't have to play the game with all the other corporate ones that are out there.
Okay. I want to bring Nicholas Soup and Salad back into the show real
the
quick.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Because I kind of stepped on him with Orlando and Atlanta on Saturday. I want your Sunday game, Nick. Give me your Sunday game.
Oh, for me, for sure. It's got to be Columbus, Philly.
That's mine,
it's
too.
Be.
Yeah, that's the actual true one.
We're all in agreement on that. And yep. this has sort of playoff preview implications on the very first day of the year, which is interesting. Yeah.
To be honest with you, this probably should have been, for my money, I would have liked to have seen this be MLS Cup, and this is why I hate the East-West format, is that you don't always get the two teams that you'd like to see in the final. There's no way you could ever see Columbus and Philly in a final. That sucks. You know, there was a few years in MLS where they kind of mixed it up and the wild card went to the other side and everything like that. So I think one year we got New York Columbus in LA, I think I went to that final, if I'm not.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
That's the way it kind of should be. There should be a way for the best teams to meet in the final. We're Americanizing this thing all the hell, and I hate it.
That Columbus, New York final, that was Guillermo Barrichello's finest moment. On that stadium, in that stadium in Los Angeles. Just saying. Yeah.
You ain't wrong.
All right, so Nicky Super.
But yeah, Columbus, Philly, if you're going to make – that might be the game of the weekend, to be honest with you.
Probably. I mean, how is Columbus, you know, new pieces, obviously all that firepower they bring
Columbus
back from last year.
Columbus has set the steamroll, dude. They're set the steamroll.
But here's the thing that I wonder, and I've definitely had that thought too, and I was pumping Columbus last year. I thought they were going to be really good last year. Obviously, they go win the title. They got stronger. They got better. They got, you know, whatever. And I don't know. It's obviously you think they will, but the question is, in MLS, will they? Nicky, want to come back in? I'm gonna do it. This is a third time. Have we done this before? Are you coming back on the show for a third?
Hey, Nick's welcome on the show as much as he wants.
I gotta pick
your poison for you guys.
All right. Oops, it did not play. I'm not sure what's going on with there. We're not gonna get to pick your poison.
Poison.
Yeah, it's not gonna work.
All right. So I'm gonna give you guys two options here. You can take Columbus or the Field. Who are you taking for your MLS Cup champions?
Wow.
Or the Field.
Columbus or the Field, Mr. Dubois?
For the MLS champions, you said? The MLS Cup champions?
Yeah. MLS Cup champions.
I mean, I'll take someone else, and here's the only reason why. MLS has a history, not so much in the recent past, to be honest with you, but classically, it has a history of 6, 7, and 8 seed teams winning the whole thing. It really does. I would probably take Columbus for the Shield. But I don't know that I would take them for the cup, because it kind of all goes out the window once you get into the playoff format afterwards. And it's a lot to go through. So I would take the field just because there's so much there, but I would take Columbus for the shield.
Okay.
So he dodges the question.
Yeah, I took the field.
Yeah. Okay. I'm taking the field too. Like I just think you have to. Because as Jared said, like there's just actually, you know what? Here, I got poison. I fixed it on the fly.
Nick jinxed it.
You gotta take the field. It's just, there's just too, it's MLS. There's too much parity. There's too much, the playoffs are too much of a crapshoot. Here's a fact that maybe escapes attention because of how the season ended last year. And Columbus winning in Nicaragua is the reason I know this. Columbus did not win a single game away in 2020. Crazy. Did not win a single game away in 2020. And they went on and won a championship.
Yeah.
And they weren't, look, they tied games,
but they didn't win any.
They obviously weren't the supporters.
Yeah, they lost to Cincinnati.
And it wasn't a normal season, so you can't really compare it. But still, that says something about they were the best team at the end, but were they the best team in the middle of July or in the middle of August? Not really. Not necessarily. Not clearly.
And in the bonus show tonight, we'll get our predictions for the Shield and everything like that, too, and all that kind of stuff. So I do think there's some teams that give them a run for their money, but Columbus is really well poised right now. If they can fix their road issues, they're really well poised for this season.
What's interesting about your Shield pick for Columbus, which I do think is chalk, but it's a good chalk, is that they are sort of set up now, whereas I think a lot of clubs are going to do some business in the summer. Things are going to get really interesting in the summer as clubs try to jockey for some signings they weren't able or willing to make in the winter. Like, it just wasn't, the market wasn't there. You couldn't get players in because of COVID travel restrictions. All this delay from the CBA, all that stuff meant that the market wasn't the same. It was a slow winter for signings. When they're all going to try to jam it in the summer, and it's going to be interesting to see how that
affects advantage for Columbus, though. They didn't move anyone. They didn't have to bring anyone in. They didn't have to lose anyone. And that's kind of impressive that in a season where they won the cup, no one came in for any of their players. Like, no, none of them moved, or none of them took that loan spell, like the Jordan Morris, Paul Areola, DK kind of loan spell. You know, like, it's an interesting thing that at the time we were like, how come Zardes isn't making a move? Doesn't he want to try to get a cemented starting spot at the national team level?
You're going to see out of Columbus. You're going to see a couple of players who were part of the deal last year, but maybe not central to what they did. You're going to see them rise, too. I mean, they've added Perry Kitchen. That's a depth piece, right? You know about Perry Kitchen. He can do a job, but
he's what Michael Bradley looks like if he couldn't pass.
Right. But look out for Aiden Morris. Aiden Morris is going to be a player to watch this year. I think Sebastian Berhalter is going to get some run as well. I think he might have been regardless.
Aiden Morris was the one that came on in the playoffs and did really well last season, right?
He's the one that stepped in when Nagbe was out. So and again, they're not going to use Aiden Morris as a starter week in and week out when you got Darlington Nagbe and you got these other pieces.
Let's do one prediction right now before we leave. One prediction to tease them for stuff. Who's Columbus's MVP at the end of the season?
It's Zeller Ayan. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
I'm going Nagbe. Okay.
But Nagbe doesn't show up on the stat sheet, so it's going to be like, oh, I think he's the MVP. But yeah, that guy's got assists.
Who would the players vote for? That's
an interesting question. I still think it's going to be Zeller Ayan, but I could see that being close if Nagbe has an excellent year.
Neither of us picks Zardes.
No, he's going to score a bunch of goals, though.
Yep.
He's got a shot at Golden Boot.
If you have one of those fantasy pools where it's based off of market value and it goes up and down every week, hold Zardes. Because I guarantee you at some point people aren't going to hold him. His value is going to be low, and you're going to get bang for your buck on Zardes.
I think the last thing here. I'll do one more before we get out. Since we're talking. Over under 15.5 goals.
Jossie Zardes.
I'll take the over.
Nicholas Soup and Salad takes the over.
Man, the East is so weak, dude. It looks so weak right now. I'm going to take the over as well. And that's not because I'm a Jossie Zardes believer. I really just think the East is poor right now.
Well, we're going to talk about it on the bonus show. So we'll save all that prediction stuff for the bonus show. But that was a good one. Thanks to everybody who joined in the chat and added things. You guys help us out with we got researchers over there and stuff. Make sure you give us a rating and review. I don't know, Nikki Soup and Salad, we do?
We got one, yeah.
Let's go ahead and throw him in there as well to get the review that we got.
All right. You got it? Sorry, I'm trying to do too many things with my... There we go, here now. All right, here we go. Got it. This is from Pitt JL. Earned, not given. Jason and Jared are the OG American Soccer Show. I've been listening since the 2014 World Cup qualifying cycle, and they've only gotten better. They are the best. These guys are hard to beat. Insert J. Rodius drop.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to give me the... It's not that one.
J. Rodius.
I mean, the man wants a drop. I give him a drop. That's what we do. That's what we do. All right. yeah, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow for the bonus stuff. And not just the bonus episodes. You also get access to the Slack where we're all hanging out, talking through stuff, people comparing like their responses to their COVID vaccine shots. Like,
oh, dude, Pfizer gang is strong in the Slack. Pfizer gang.
Pfizer gang right here, buddy.
Not just that, but I kind of talked about it last week as well, but our boy David put it together, a great Beer with Besties? Where they're all sharing beers, are going to have a watch party this coming weekend for opening weekend, right, Nick? Is that correct? I'm not sure if you're involved in that one or not, but...
I'm not in that channel.
You're not in that channel.
I guess someone didn't get an invite. My bad.
I don't drink beer.
Is it run by a Columbus fan? Oh, that's right. He's not a drinker. That's the
no.
Thing.
But David Freddie putting a lot of work into that one. So there's still time if you want to get in to participate with them. There's so many good things going on.
I'll be honest with you. I swear to this is 100% true. If I need a recommendation on something, like if I'm like, oh, I got to do something to my house or, oh, I got to go out and get some, I run to the Slack and I ask people for advice in the Slack. And without a doubt, there's somebody who knows that thing, is an expert in that thing in our Slack. So even if you don't care about us, even if you don't want to be.
Justin's got the receipts here. He says they're doing it Friday for the Houston game. So if you want to be in and have a white chalon party, share some beers, and have some really good people for a hang, that's going down Friday. Get in. And then when you get into the Slack, come into the Patreon. Then when you get into the Slack, tell us you want to invite to the Besties beer watch. I can't remember what the actual Slack is. But
yeah, we got a bunch of channels over there. There's music
Beer with
channels.
The Besties or something?
It is. Yeah, beer with the besties, I think.
No, Bestie Beer Night. That's what it is.
Ah, Bestie Beer Night. Okay.
There's Bestie Fit Club. There's Best of the Best. There's also That's My Jam.
We also got a poker channel because there's poker games happening among besties. People are taking money off of Jared. It's great.
Only one time.
Okay. Well, take more money off of Jared, please. Then do that. All right. That's it. You got anything else, Mr. Dubois? You ready to bounce?
That's it, buddy. Let's get a bonus show going.
All right. We'll go do the bonus show. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Only the best. Get to the chopper!
Eddie, what have you done for me, Eddie?
Duh and or hello.
Is that JTT?
OMFPG-13, it's JTT!
What are we doing?
The horror show.
We are at DEFCON 1.
Oh, would you look at that, an absolute firecracker.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
In a probes.
Michael freaking Arasco Fiscal.
J. Rodius.
All right. Sorry about that review transition. I screwed up there.
Nah, it's fine. Makes the visual better.
There were two times in this where I had to mute to cough, and I could only mute this. I couldn't get the other one time, so there's going to be two pretty loud coughs in my...
I'll try to find them. They should spike.
It should be easy to find.
So I just want to give you a heads up so you don't just push it through, you know?
All right. I'm going to just keep my recording rolling. We'll just do another video, right? I'll come right back. Jared, do you need the link?
Jared,
send you the link.
Jared,
I just have to refresh,
return.
Right?
No.
Return to dashboard.
Yes. All right.
And then just keep hitting refresh till you see the new show.
Don't talk down to me like I'm a child.
See you guys over there. Bye.